So good morning. Justin, my friend Justin, had a highly successful career in the British Army. And after he left the army, he went on to have a glittering career in the city. Working in insurance, he was already earning a six-figure salary, and he was being fast-tracked to further promotion. He had absolutely everything. He had wealth, he had a big and lovely house, he had both a Porsche and a Mercedes, he had a beautiful wife, and he had three children. And then one Sunday morning, he woke up bored, and he placed a £5 bet online. Over 3 years, he lost £750,000. You did hear that correctly. £750,000 he lost to an online gambling habit. He lost his job because he misused his business credit card, and he lost his wife and his children because he gambled away everything that they owned. He was lost. So lost and desperate. And one morning when he woke up, absolutely in his darkest hour, he prayed and then he made a phone call. "Mum," he said, "can I talk to you about coming home?" And his mum, who was Jen Rees-Larkham and she was part of our church, drove up to Derbyshire and she collected her son. Jesus also faced a darkest hour. His hour had come. Now, he hadn't sinned, he hadn't messed up, and he wasn't a disgraced man, but he still had to face a dark hour. He was facing Maundy Thursday, he was facing Good Friday, and he still had to get through Easter Saturday before Easter Sunday would come. He was facing the greatest challenge in his earthly mission. Soon he'd have completed what he had to do, but with the hardest days ahead of him, he turned to God in prayer, and he prayed, "Abba, Dad, can I talk to you about coming home?" Justin prayed for himself because he needed rescuing and he needed saving. He was at serious risk of either committing a serious crime to get himself out of the mess he was in or taking his life so he didn't have to face what might come. And we get that. We might not have ever been quite as desperate as Justin, nor might we have ever messed up our lives quite as badly as Justin, but I think most of us would know what it feels like to be in a dark and a desperate place and feel that desperate need to turn to God in prayer and say, "God, rescue me. God, save me from this place." We know what it is to pray to be taken out and away from those darkest places that we find in our lives. But we're going to turn to the Bible as we start a new teaching series on prayer. We're going to turn to the Bible, we're going to turn to John 17, and we're going to hear about how Jesus prayed when he faced his darkest hour. Jesus looked heavenward and he prayed, "Father, now the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those that you've given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I've brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they've obeyed your word. Now they know everything you've given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and I kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they're not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for all those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us, so the world may believe that you've sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me, for they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those that you've given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. It's a long reading, so let me take you back to the beginning. Jesus says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those who you've given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. I've brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus is thinking about going home. And as he thinks about going home, he asks that the glory he knew before he left heaven and came to earth might be restored to him on his return. But that's not the only glory that he's asking for. His prayer is based on an Old and a New Testament understanding of the word glory, and they're different. The Old Testament understanding of the word glory is the glory shown in a display of light, a radiant light that is so brilliant that no one can approach it. As his return to the Father becomes more imminent, he looks forward to receiving what he laid aside when he came to earth. Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began, he says. But in the New Testament, which is written in Greek, the Greek understanding of this word glory can be translated that which merits good opinion, reputation, or standing, and it was linked to the weight of someone's power. So when Jesus says, glorify your Son, that the Son might glorify you, he's asking even in these final days, he'll continue to reveal God's nature and God's character as he recommits to finish what he started, as he rededicates himself to this profoundly sacred and holy mission, he asks his dad to sustain him. He wants to finish well, so that the full nature of God might be understood in the cross and in the grave. He asks God to protect him and keep him so the full weight of his Father's power will be seen in his victory over death. This is what Jesus asks for in his darkest hour. Not to be removed from the darkest hour, but to live well through it. Because he wants to complete his mission. He wants to make sure that it's possible for anyone and everyone to know him in heaven, so that they might there see him in his radiant and brilliant glory. So having prayed for himself, he then moves on to pray for his friends, asking that their spiritual life might be protected and kept safe to heaven's end. But in the meantime, he says, just as he revealed the Father's glory, the Father's nature, the Father's character in his life, they might do the same, so that others will come to know the breadth and the depth and the height of God's love for them. Jesus is praying that the whole of humanity will come to know that they're loved by God and that this love is their passage to heaven. Jesus prays for his friends before he prays for us, because they were the ones who were the tangible expression of his mission and his ministry on earth. Despite their failings and their imperfections, their questions and their doubts, the many times that they often just didn't get it, Jesus says of his disciples, "Glory has come to me through them." And of course they couldn't be perfect like Jesus. Of course they couldn't reveal every aspect of God. But when they trusted in Jesus, when they said, "Yes, we see Jesus as our Saviour," they brought glory to him. The Father is glorified because they had faith in the Son. And just as this is true for the way the disciples brought glory to Jesus, this is how we bring him glory too. When we believe in God as he's revealed through Jesus, and then we act on this belief, we show something of the holiness and the goodness of God. We bring the same glory that Jesus' disciples did some 2,000 years ago. Many of us are Baptists here, and we know of the renowned 19th century Baptist preacher called Spurgeon. And Spurgeon put it this way when he was talking about salvation. He says, "When the Lord lays hold on a drunkard, a thief, an adulterer, when he arrests one who's been guilty of blasphemy, whose very heart is reeking with evil thoughts, when he picks up the far-off one, the abandoned, the dissolute, the fallen, as he often does, and when he says, 'These shall be mine, I will wash these in my blood, I will use these to speak my word,' oh, then he is glorified in them." Now, they might sound like very old-fashioned words to us here in 2018, here in TBC. But what he's saying is that Jesus was glorified in my friend Justin, who repented of the mess that he'd made of his life. Jesus was glorified when Justin turned to him and said, "I'm sorry." Jesus was glorified when Justin said, "I'm going to follow you because I think when I follow you and I live in God's purposes, I'm going to make a better success of my life. Jesus was glorified when Justin made that decision to follow him. In the space of 2 years, Justin and his wife became reconciled. She and his family joined him, and they moved into a new home in Kent. Justin now leads a Christian addiction recovery course. He's a public speaker and a commentator on addiction. He's also an advisor to the government, the medical profession, and leading a national think tank on the issues and problems of gambling and addiction in general. And more recently, he's campaigned for changes in the laws relating to gambling. Jesus is glorified in Justin's story. And you know what? Jesus is glorified in your story. And he's glorified in mine too. Because when we trust him, when we follow him, we cannot fail to reflect God in our lives. We cannot fail to witness the breadth and the depth and the height of God's love. That same element of God that Jesus showed the world when he lived on earth. He just did it better. Someone called Cynthia Freeman Swicegood, that is an amazing name, isn't it? Cynthia Freeman Swicegood, she says this of this passage. Before the world began, Jesus lived in his daddy's house by his daddy's side. It was the only home he'd ever known. Yet for the last 33 years, he's been away, living instead in a filthy, broken, fallen world. It's been a long time, and it's been an exhausting mission. So now when Jesus prays, "Glorify me, Daddy, in your presence, at your house," what he's really asking is to come home. And so as he looks to the cross, not only as an instrument of brutality, for Jesus, the cross is the passage back to his daddy's side. It's really beautiful. For Jesus, his heavenly home was the greatest place to be, and he wants each of us to experience that too. And this prayer reminds us that whilst earthly things are important, we should always be fixed on that journey ahead, which leads us and others around us to be with our Father too. So this means, at a practical level, we should be concerned at all times for the spiritual well-being of ourselves and the spiritual well-being of those around us. Our prayers should always be rooted in those things which bring glory to God, that bring glory to the Son, that reveal the full nature and the character of the Father. And one way we do this is found in the way that we relate to one another as church. Jesus prays that believers who worship together may be one, Father, he says, just as you are in me and I am in you. And this prayer reminds us that we're inextricably linked to one another because of our faith in Jesus. It's not an optional extra. When we put our faith in Jesus, I am connected to you, and you are connected to me. And somehow, we're connected to the Godhead as well. So he says, reflect. So he prays for us, to reflect the openness and the common purpose and the depth of relationship that we see between the Father and the Son. That is a big job. That is a big task. That is a big ask. This, though, is what Jesus prays for. Some years ago, Paul and I were talking about how I express myself when I get cross. Actually, my notes say angry, and that's probably nearer the truth. If I got cross, Paul would withdraw. And although I recognised that this wasn't ideal in our relationship, it wasn't bad enough for me to decide to choose to change my bad habit. And then one day, he'd probably told me before, but one day I heard him say what my anger did to him as a person, how it made him feel. And for us, this was a game-changing conversation. I still get cross because old habits die hard. But now it hurts me if I hurt him. I can't retreat into that self-justifying place that I once used to. Not only because we're joined through our marriage vows, but because our lives are inextricably joined through Jesus. Knowingly hurting Paul and claiming to be in relationship with Jesus just don't compute anymore. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't make sense. Because he is God's own, just as I am. And so it is for each and every one of us who are in this room. When Jesus prays, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe you've sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. He isn't just talking about us getting on at a practical or at a superficial level. He's praying that we will recognize the depth of the life we share as church family. The fact that this is inextricably linked into the Godhead itself. We cannot glorify the Father, nor can we be glorified by the Son when we knowingly or intentionally ignore the importance of us being united as one. So this prayer teaches us to pray in two ways. That the world will know Jesus in his full glory in heaven. We pray for people to come to know Jesus as we do. But in the meantime, in all circumstances, individually and collectively as a church family, this prayer teaches us that we must continue to pray for one another so that we can continue to reveal God's true nature and his character. It is probably one of the most profound prayers in the Bible. But Jesus says, pray in these two ways. To pray that people will come to know him, and that we will be those that witness the nature and the character of God. So this morning, I want to invite us to respond to this absolutely profound prayer. And I want to invite you to respond in one or both of two ways. You might not have ever put your faith in Jesus. You might be a bit like my friend Justin and still living your life your way. You might be like my friend Justin, living your life your way before he came to know Jesus. And I want to invite you this morning to make a life-changing decision. Rather than trusting in yourself, I'd like to invite you to say, I'm going to put my faith and my trust and my life into the hands of Jesus. So I'm just going to ask us all to bow our heads, because it's helpful if we're not looking at each other. And if this morning you have never said, I want to follow Jesus, and if this morning you would like to start to explore what that means, I'd invite you to either stand, or if that is too much, just to raise your hand, just so that I can chat to you about this at the end of the service and pray with you. If you'd like to commit yourself to Jesus today, raise a hand or stand. Many of us in this room have been Christians for a good number of years. This morning I'd like you to respond as well too. I'd like to invite you to recommit yourself, to rededicate yourself to the sacred and holy task of glorifying Jesus, so that you are a witness to the breadth and the depth and the height of God's love to those you interact with at home, in your workplaces, in your local neighbourhood, and to those in this church and those who live in the surrounding community. If you'd like to recommit, rededicate yourself to the sacred and holy task of glorifying Jesus so that you are a witness to the breadth and the depth and the height of God's love to those around you, would you raise a hand or even stand? Lord God, you know our hearts, and you've seen the way many of us in this room have responded. To recommit and to rededicate ourselves to be a witness to the breadth and the depth and the height of your Father's love. And Lord, for those of us that have raised our hand, and for those of us that have said yes and amen in our hearts, Father, I pray that you would empower us, that you would guide us, and that you would lead us to be that witness. Lord, where relationships need to be put right, would you give us opportunity to write those relationships? When habits that we've adopted and we haven't thought are that serious enough, but you say these need to change for you to be a witness, Lord, would you give us the strength to walk in new ways? Lord, where our hearts are not turned towards the good of another, despite what our faces or our words might say, Lord, would you challenge us in our hearts and bring about change, so that on the outside and on the inside, from the inside to the outside, our lives will be a witness for you. Father, we're not perfect, and we can't do this without your help. But this morning, we have rededicated ourselves. We have reconsecrated ourselves to this sacred and holy mission that you've called us to be a part of. Would you keep us? Would you watch over our spiritual journey? And would you keep our eyes fixed on that day where one day we will see you revealed in your full and your resplendent glory? Amen. Amen. So we're not going to close our service with a closing song or a closing hymn today. I just want to pray a blessing over you. And then we can go to the room at the end of the corridor and you'll find tea and coffee there. You'll also find some scones, some jam and some cream, because we had a fantastic cream tea yesterday. And in all good church situations, our catering team did such a fantastic job. They catered for today as well, so we can share in the feast that we had yesterday. So may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you, and may he make his face shine upon you until you meet him in his wonderful and perfect glory. Might you continue to walk as a witness, faithful to your Saviour, showing God's love to that end.